Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We are Laura O'Mahony, Ty Kickey and Dominic McHale, a sketch comedy group by the name of Cahoots, and we are bringing to you the podcast that goes by the name of... Shoot.
Kind of a slow reggae number
kind of
today.
Sleazy. I like it. I'm in reggae, a sleazy mood.
With the reggae for my benefit. Can I ask you?
Does.
Okay, you're back on that.
What's the genre? No, because not all people that listen to reggae smock drags. So,
fair enough. Loser.
Check out previous podcast for this backstory.
On the previous Chattitude podcast, we talked about happiness.
Happiness is egg-shaped and loves a circle with no end, I think, was the topic.
Beautifully put, Tyke. This week we're going to continue the primal feeling, and that primal feeling is going to be fear.
Dun, dun, dun.
Fear, but do not be afraid.
Don't be scared.
And it's not fears, it's fear.
Fear.
That's different, I think, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, fear is quite different, I think.
I think they're related, but I think we'll focus primarily in the beginning on fear.
We're not talking spiders, I don't think. We're not talking tarantulas. We're not talking losing your mom in town. We're talking fear.
Well, on the topic, right, the term...
I feel a bit fearful, just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Pit of the stomach.
The word fear would bring it up for you. Yeah.
The word phobia, I think gets bandied about these days. I believe, as far as I'm concerned, that phobia refers to an irrational fear.
Correct.
Right,
is that correct?
Yeah, that would be my understanding of it.
For example, arachnophobia is the irrational fear of spiders.
Of Iraq.
Of Iraq, of Saddam Hussein and his ilk.
I don't think there's any need to embellish my gag. It was already a very controversial gag.
Fair
enough. Go on.
Now, the mayor of Gdansk.
Stop it.
Okay. So, I don't think there's anything irrational about fearing spiders.
About fearing spiders.
Oh, but I think you could have a very irrational response to, like, a small spider.
Or that I won't go into this house because there might be a spider in there.
Correct.
That's an irrational fear of it. Okay.
Are spiders feared because they're ugly
and a bit creepy?
I think they're ugly and creepy because of what they can do, and we associate that appearance with...
Now I feel like I have the creepy crawlies as well as a feeling of fear in the pit of my stomach. So far this podcast has gone pretty bleak.
Because we don't tend to be scared of little tiny bunny wabbits.
We don't.
Because they're so cute.
Because they're so cute.
Can you please never do that voice again for me? Thank you.
So, I'm in a very cute mood.
Well, would it be fair to say that we're only afraid of things that can damage us, that can cause us harm?
And, because of the unknown also.
Iraq.
The unknown.
Laura, talk to us about the political situation in Iraq. Sorry.
I'd say it's not great.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
That'd be my kind of
two cents.
I think fear of the unknown is, like, but I suppose that is that the unknown could damage us. Or just, I don't know.
I'll put you on the spot. I'll kick it off. I'll set the tone. Do you fear death?
Very much so. Yeah, I don't want to die at all. It makes me very sad to think about it.
Ooh,
and I
bit of bad news for you.
I know. And I don't I don't want my children to have to deal with me dying, or I don't want to be left behind if my husband died. I just don't want, I really want nothing. Like, my parents are beautiful grandparents. I just want them to keep going forever, and they've promised me that they will, because I'm their angel and their princess.
Well, nice. Laura, you're an angel and you're a princess, so you're probably going to live forever.
I am.
A lot of princesses die. I would say that
Lady Di.
Oh God!
In
the name of God,
Dominic, please
go back to your Iraq stuff.
I'm sorry, Tig. When you say lots of princesses die, is that not a tee up?
I don't think so. Would you get your feet down off that thing? You'd be thumping.
My feet are tired, mate.
No, I'm very, very afraid of death, and afraid of talking to my children about death. And also, I just would prefer if it wasn't a fact of life.
But Laura, can I put you on the spot? I mean, that is... I mean, you're lacking acceptance on that topic then, because you have to surely deep down inside accept that it's going to...
Well, I'm hoping by the time that it comes along... that I'll be at the point where I'm like, do you know what? I'm ready for a break. But it also
I don't think it's a break, Laura.
Well, it leads me to concerning issues about my religion as well, because we say, like...
Oh, this is interesting.
I would believe
Muslim.
In God.
Laura is actually from Iraq.
I believe in God, and I would be, I suppose, defined as Catholic, right?
Defiant or...
Def-
Both. Yeah, well, I think you're probably a bit both Catholic.
I heard an interesting discussion recently where people don't feel like they're able to admit to being Catholic, and I think that's a bit lousy. Like, I mean, I don't have to agree with everything that's happened in the Catholic Church. I don't really believe in the institution of the Catholic Church, but I believe in God, and I find it a good framework to work. But let me finish my point. Put down the small hand.
Good Christ.
The thing that I therefore believe in an afterlife and heaven, right? But if I examine that too closely in too much detail pertaining to death, then I get afraid that maybe I don't believe in that. And if I don't believe in that, then does that mean that there's nothing? And I really don't want there to be nothing.
Just interesting the way the Catholic Church came up in a discussion of fear inside 5 minutes. That's all I was going to say.
That's
not
very interesting.
Go ahead, Dom.
I do not fear death.
Okay.
And I do genuinely believe that if we were to live forever, that would be hell. I really don't want to live forever. I think what makes life beautiful is the fact that it's finite and it's going to come to an end. I don't worry or fear death because I have no control over it, really. I'm going to do what's in my control. I'm going to try and be as healthy as possible and not put myself in unnecessary risky situations where I might die prematurely. But at the same time, ultimately, I have no idea when it's going to happen. And I have very little actual control over when it's going to happen, so there's no reason for me to worry about it or fear it.
I'll put you on the spot, though, and I accept that totally. I would say that you have fear of growing older, though.
I have fear of losing...
your body degenerating.
That's fair to
and
say.
And I have no fear of that. I don't mind what... Like, by the time I die, I want to be fully used up. Every single bit of me. Absolute. Like, there's nothing left in this one. Like, let her go.
Whereas I'd prefer to be one of those old men in his late 70s, early 80s, and you're like, my God, that man is in perfect health.
You want to
and
be
then
a
one
stunning
day,
corpse.
I want to be a beautiful... And one day he's just gone.
Once my mind is okay, though, like, I definitely have a fear of, like, you know, I wouldn't mind now if my body was banjax, like, once I was able to still be tinking away at myself.
I still want to be with it. I think as
But
well,
I don't fear that then, though. Sorry to interrupt you, Laura.
The fear kind of stems as well from loving an awful lot. Like, I love my mum and I love my dad.
Your fear is a fear of loss, I think.
It's probably more like I'd probably be able to come to terms with my own death more than the loss of a loved one, I'd say. Like, I always say to my mom, the minute there's any sign of her dying, I'm checking myself in for counselling because I just won't be able to cope with that. Same with my dad. Same with, like, if anything happened to, God forbid, if anything happened to anyone in my family, like, I'll be the original basket case. You'll know what a basket case is. Then.
Is there any way of providing comfort to that fear in that everybody who's ever lived has died? Is it not just something that you need to kind of...
I find that comforting. The most comforting thing would be if somebody could say to me, your mom is going to live now for at least another 40 years and I could just relax.
And they're going to a happy place afterwards? That would be the ultimate comfort, I suppose.
They're going to a happy place afterwards and they'll die just very casually in their sleep. Like, there'd be no big, you know, there's no big illness waiting around the corner for you. That kind of thing. Mom hates this now because she's like, if one more person talks about my death,
yeah, we'll
she's
get
like,
off
I'm very young.
Specific family members pretty
we
quickly.
Well,
I think,
I'll bring us on to something else, right? Because at the moment, the human lifespan is what? About kind of 80 to 90 years, roughly speaking.
For
the reason that
man,
we're... For a man, it's a bit lower, I think. For a man, it's kind of late 70s.
Higher,
for women, it's 80s. Not to go into too much science here, but basically what limits our lifespan at the moment is the caps on the end of our DNA.
Okay.
They're called telomeres.
Oh, yes.
And every time your cell replicates, these telomeres get shorter and shorter, and that's what causes the aging process as well. If we can find some way as a scientific community to stop them getting shorter, conceivably, we could stop the aging process. We could possibly double our lifespan.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about in 100 or 200 years. I'm talking about this could happen in the next 50 years.
But by doubling our lifespan, what is the condition of us as we head into our second century, shall we say? What's the state of our bodies and minds? No, like, as in, I'm wondering.
Well, if we can half the rate at which these telomeres degrade, we're possibly talking about somebody who's
elongating
who's
the
70 years old having the physical appearance or the physical capabilities of a 35-year-old.
Okay.
I'd be into that. Yeah. I'd love a second lot.
Love another lover.
Shane, are you listening?
Shane, absolutely, get your head out of this too. I have another lover.
I would know what to do with another lover. What am I meant to do with this?
Mr. Another Lover. Another lover.
I don't know if I'd want to live for 200 years either.
I don't want you to live that long.
I
anyway.
Really
no way.
I wouldn't inflict
because
myself on people for that
long. Because you were a massive junior infant. Can you imagine,
how big
I'd be? 200?
This is my son. He's 220 years old. 7 foot 10.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I also have no impetus to die though either. You know, I'm not kind of saying, oh, I'm starting to really get sick of it now this year.
Like, if you, you died as well, like, would me and Dom carry on with Cahoots? Probably not.
No, I don't think he'd even stay in touch, to be honest.
No, we would stay in touch.
I think we'd find a replacement pretty quickly and keep motoring on.
It's what he would have wanted. I'd say that an awful lot.
And Tyke from heaven.
It's not. It's not what I would have wanted at all.
I know. I always say that to Shane. I'm like, love, if anything happens to me now, you are absolutely not to find love.
What I would want for me is for like a hologram of me to be around live with you, and I just kind of pop up as a holo.
Just like Joe Dolan.
Kind of nonsense every now and again.
Holla.
Holla.
Should we get it off death and go back to fear?
To get back to the topic of fear. Tyke.
Hiya.
Can you remember a time in your life where you just felt absolute fear or terror, shall we say?
Loads.
Go
just
on.
Loads.
Can you give us an example?
I'm actually one of the most scared people in Passage. Okay. Kind of known for that. I'm living in Passage at the moment, and I'm the scaredy cat of the community down there. I know. Jeepers. I suppose fear is... I remember like a kind of... There's irrational fears, and then there's rational fears, as you quite rightly pointed out at the start. I mean, for some reason, I always had... My father was a little bit older. Having me, I was a surprise, as we were talking about earlier, and I definitely identify with the fear of a parent, because I noticed that, like, I mean, by the time I started secondary school, some of my buddies in secondary school, their dads were in their 30s.
They had multiple dads.
Wow.
Actually, one of my good buddies in school had 12 dads.
No way.
Yeah, no, that's what he said. But you know, when you're a kid, you're just like, you're showing off, I think, a little bit.
He may have had 4 or 5 tops.
He had 10 dads, top tops, but but he claimed that he had 12 dads. No. But I did notice my dad, by the time I kicked off secondary school, my dad was probably knocking on the door of 60, I'd say. And that was one of my biggest fears initially, that I was like, oh, wow, he's closer to the end, I suppose, than my buddy's dad's, whatever. So that my dad dying, I suppose, would be like a huge fear, and that it was obviously actualized then when I was 18 when it happened. And that, no, but I suppose that brings me on to a slightly dark, but a slightly good 60? Thing, though.
He was 68 when he died, wasn't
he? He's like, 67, I think. 60. Yeah. He was in his getting on late 60, but he was a young man. It was just that physically, you know, he was like grey hair and like balding or whatever. But I had no choice but to face my fears. And that's one of the best things that happened to me, I think, because kind of going forward then, it was a kind of case of like, is anything really going to be as bad as that bolt out of, because that was such a kind of a horrific thing. Like, it kind of, it did, like that cliche of making you stronger, like if it doesn't kill you, you know.
I find that I haven't had that kind of terrifying having to face my fear experience, and that makes me fearful that means it's on the way. Do you know, like, life is too good.
You're quite big into, I've got something on the way now.
I'm like, it's like, I met my husband very young. I'm like, you met him very young, because he's going to be taken off you early. Like, I have all those kind of weird things in my head that I constantly have to battle to get rid of. Stuff like, you know, life is lovely at the moment. That means, like, the trough is coming. The dip is coming.
Yeah, you're saying that
before, just have
to
enjoy the moment. But I would fret about the big one's coming. Because I think when we were small as well, we'd say, like, my uncle and my two grands passed away within kind of 4 years of each other. And there was this thing about things happening in threes and all this. And that I was a very small person, like, getting that into my head. And so I still have that as a grown up then, that things happen in threes, or things happen in little clusters, that you have like a bad family time for a couple of years and then it gets right again. So I'm very hung up on those kind of elements.
But like, my understanding of people dealing with irrational fears, like if somebody is treated for, you know, some people have, I think in OCD, like one of the symptoms can be like a fear of like being knocked down or like an obsession with like obsessions. And the way to deal with it would be like, say you don't want to go to a toilet, or you have something, would be to actually face the fear. There's no other way around it. So by that logic as well, it's like trying to face them, or in my case, in the case of my dad, being forced into that experience, the natural route then is to overcome it. Because otherwise, when that fear is still there and it has a hold on you, it's inhibiting your contentment and happiness.
I've actually been listening to, he's a clinical psychologist, and all his lectures are online for free, so you can just listen to them.
Okay.
And he was talking about when he treats somebody who's got an irrational fear or a really strong fear, it's not about taking the fear out of their lives, it's about making them stronger to face the fear.
Yeah.
But the key element is they have to face it voluntarily.
Yeah.
So there's no point in, if someone's afraid of water, bringing them to the edge of a diving board and pushing them off and saying, face your fear.
Yeah.
It has to be them walking out to the edge of the diving board and jumping in. And I think that's an interesting...
The previous thing you described sounds like it would exacerbate the problem. If anything, like, it's
totally
so terrifying.
Yeah. It's a bit like when people give up cigarettes or something, that they have to come to it themselves, even though they know, like, they're bad for me or whatever. you have to yeah. come to that realization.
It's an internal thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The old school way of teaching it to swim, like you're like someone throwing into the pond. Like, so maybe you do end up swimming, but you're traumatized for life.
True.
It was the day that someone threw you
That's
into
not
a pond.
A very
no?
successful method. Yeah. I think on this topic, I have two fears, I think.
Okay.
One is quite practical and material, and one is slightly more abstract. One is water.
Really?
I can't swim.
Okay.
Can't you, Dan?
No. I can swim in kind of, if I can stand up in the water, I'm fine.
I was going to ask you to go swimming during the week with me.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're going to have to change those plans, buddy, unfortunately.
I'll sure. flog a dog.
Now, is it in a swimming pool that I can stand up in?
No, the River Lee.
Oh, sugar.
Go on anyway, sweet
cheeks.
I have multiple
concerns with that. It's nearly sewage free, as far as I'm aware.
Ah, stop.
Which is great, yeah. enjoy your swim.
Go on, you're still not going to be able to swim in it, Louis.
So if I can't stand up in the water, I feel like a tightening in my chest, and I really don't enjoy it. So I would describe that as a fear.
You don't like a loss of control either, I'd say.
Very much so.
Yeah, and that's where that comes from, if yeah, you don't mind yeah. me jumping
in. Did you
in.
Ever have swimming lessons or anything? Did you ever try?
I did, and I got to a reasonable degree, but I never progressed past being comfortable swimming in kind of shallow water.
Okay.
If ever it got deep. And I would still have nightmares or dreams about deep water and falling into deep water, not being able to do anything about it.
Well, you have to float. If you fall in, you float. Can you float?
You see, I don't think I can float.
Yeah, Shane can't. My husband can't float
it's
either.
It's this treading, I can't either. Treading water
I think
thing.
Men find it harder to float, though.
I don't believe that I can.
It's because yeah. you're willies.
I don't think it. Well, I would say.
I have an exceptionally small willy and I still find it difficult.
I would imagine, generally, men have a lower body fat percentage than women. That's a fact.
That's a fact, yeah.
And if you've more body fat, you're going to float more easily.
All right, but I float like a little flotilla.
Well, there you go.
Float like a butterfly.
My second fear is the more abstract one, and that is being irrelevant.
Interesting.
That would interesting. That terrifies me. If I could live a short but relevant life, I would choose that over a long, irrelevant, average life.
Can I tie in with yours? And
please.
I'm glad you said that now, because you've given me the courage to share one of my fears that I thought sounded a little bit wanky, but you've just been totally wanky, so I feel like there's a comfortable space for me now.
Thank you, I suppose.
Thank you, wanky. Yeah. I have a fear, a Keatsian fear of when I fear that I may cease to be before my pen has gleaned my teeming brain. So...
That's not wanky at all.
No.
That was like
that's just as wanky as my one.
I've never met anyone that's quoted Keats in a podcast now and ended up being wanky. So I think I'm in a safe enough space.
Go on then, Ty.
I know, but all jokes aside, that like, you know, as you're getting older, the thing that would frighten me a little bit was like, am I doing what, if I have some creative impetus in me, am I maximising that? Am I getting all that stuff out?
I 100% have that feeling of not reaching my potential. The fear of not having reached my potential and to suddenly look back and be like, oh, you were on the cusp of it and you never did it.
Exactly. And also not even like, oh, I should have ended up doing this, or I should, just in terms of like the stuff, not getting the stuff out, like, because there's stuff in there that you can almost feel and then you don't get it out in time and then you forget, like in jokes and stuff, and you kind of go, or even like, you know, like we were talking today, Dom, about like, are people going to say like, oh, that was an incredible piece of work that you put together, because that would be my main interest, not like, you know, oh, I saw you on a lane or something. I don't want to keep picking a lane.
I
think it's just because you were on a lane.
I actually
personal.
Like a lane quite a lot.
No, I said like, I'm not trying to get on TV like as much as I'm trying to, not trying to, but even just for myself to say that idea that I had, I actualized that, I got to the end of it. Not just because I think we all have good ideas, but getting them out on paper and then on screen and stuff, that's a huge challenge, as we know.
Yeah.
Even getting the money together to do it is a huge challenge. And that's what I feel sometimes a bit pressurized by. And that's why I like Januaries, just to tie back to our previous podcast, because January, I have a clear run at the year now, at least mentally. Because when the year starts going on, I kind of start feeling, ooh,
I feel
you haven't ticked that box yet.
January and September are two refreshers. I always find September still is a bit like a January as well, because it's like traditionally when you'd start back to school. So the new school year.
New academic year,
I feel...
Well,
my biggest irrational fear is of being incarcerated for a crime I didn't commit.
Yes, that's interesting. Tell us about that.
Do you really feel this?
Where did that come from?
I just have always had that fear, because could you imagine like not being believed? And like, you know, the way like you'd see documentaries now, we'd say about your one Amanda Knox, for example.
Yeah.
Like, she's a strange enough fish. She comes across very strange and suspicious, but she might just be a little bit strange or doesn't know how to deal with her emotions. Like, I could imagine myself being like, I genuinely didn't murder him. Like, there's no way I did. And then like accidentally smiling or accidentally getting hysterical laughing, then being like, she's some sort of maniac. And then being in jail and no, Tig just took off his sock.
I have a fear of Tig's bare feet.
Oh my God, they're really out. But genuinely, a fear of being put into jail and nobody believing me. That's the kind of irrational one. I used to also be very afraid of milk, but then I had children and I had to get over that very quick.
Where did this fear of milk come from, Laura?
I actually think it came from school milk. You know, when you used to be on the school milk scheme and every now and again you get one that wasn't like super fresh.
Yeah.
So you get a kind of a custardy kind of yellowy
milk.
Sorry,
Tig is just holding aloft one of his other socks now.
And
that
Sneaking
he's taken
Jesus
off.
Is taking a picture
Sneezing
of it.
Jesus just taking a quick snap. Sorry, Wonderful. Gang. Interesting,
so,
Laura.
Like horrible school milk. I think then made me a bit afraid of all milk. And as well, if you ever notice when you spill milk, it moves really quite slowly and deliberately. And that used to freak me out.
You could describe it as viscous.
I think milk is a common fear. I've heard that a bit. Yeah, I've actually heard that a good bit.
It extends onto things like, you know, like Froobs, you know, those yoghurty squeezy things and cheese.
Pettifoluin tubes.
But then I had children and I was like, okay, I have to get over this. But any big fear, I suppose, I'd actually have a fear about anything happening to Cahoots, that Cahoots would end. Genuinely, you know I have this fear. I'm the only one in the group that gets that.
I would say, I don't think you're the only one, but you're the one who gets
enough,
it the most, probably.
I'm not giving enough reassurance when I worry about it. You're like, I know it won't. And I, as I always say to Shane...
But it's very
Shane,
hard to give you enough reassurance on anything.
Well, I'll give you the key now, which I've given to Shane a long time ago. I need a paragraph. And boys are inclined to give a sentence and I need the paragraph. I need an explanatory paragraph just to tide me over.
I think that's why we've ever had little tete-a-tetes, because I hate giving people paragraphs. Like if I do what I can and then if you don't accept that, I'm like, I'm not giving you more. So that's actually where we've
And then
had
I'm at home needing the more.
Titty-tets.
Titty-tets. But fear then, it's death really. Death is a fear, or anything happening to the babas or...
I'd have a fear of going insane actually.
Interesting.
I have a fear of going insane. Yeah, that just came to me
there. I think going insane might be a bit of crack.
I have a fear of going insane and being aware of it, I suppose. Oh, like, okay, I'm not talking out, like, you know, flying around duns off my head. Kind of like, you know, having a bit of crack with baguettes or something.
Oh, like, I'd hate, like, any, like, locked-in syndrome or anything, like, where you're aware that you're not, like, oh, God, I'd hate that.
Well, that would be appalling, where your mind is perfectly capable and still agile and your body is just starting to fail you.
I'd really struggle with that.
Yeah. I actually, mine is kind of like men in white coats coming to pick me up kind of thing. You've just completely lost the plot. You've let us all down. You were kind of on the cusp of being kind of cool crazy. Now you're just crazy. Good luck.
Did I mention my fear of the TV licence inspector?
Yes, you did. You talked about him before. One of my favourite things
and
ever
I, for
said.
One, would like to hear no more about it.
So that's the mayor of Gdansk, the TV licence inspector. Anything else I should add to
you're in tax on reggae and Iraq,
reggae,
I think, could probably be looked at as well.
All right, sailing. Yeah.
I don't mind sailing. I have no time for them.
Okay.
But what are the best ways of dealing with fear? So I reckon you're right that you just have to kind of face up to it or like laugh at it. Like, I think if you could laugh at death, then it has no hold over you because you're like, sure, only an old Joe.
Spike Milligan.
Do you remember the way? Yeah, exactly. Do you remember the way I just differentiated between happiness and contentment? Could I throw in fear versus anxiety? I think they're kind of slightly different things.
And I think anxiety is a complicated area because a lot of people say they're anxious, and then that in this day and age gets very quickly attached to like having an anxiety disorder or panic attacks. But actually, sometimes you're just a bit nervy about something, and it's not a sign of a bigger.
No.
Mental health situation.
I think that I thankfully don't feel what I deem to be anxious at all, really.
Okay.
I don't feel a lot of anxiety.
You never seem anxious.
No, I don't.
And I think it's because of the fact, now I'm going to say there are good parts of this and bad parts of this. I don't live too far into the future.
Okay.
My mind frame works about week to week.
Which can be a problem for you.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because then I can get scheduling problems and, you know, I don't think far enough ahead, which can cause kind of goal issues, shall we say, or not achieving things, but it stops me from being anxious because I'm not thinking a year into the future.
Can I just say, we're saving ourselves thousands on counselling here, guys.
We really are.
We're getting to the root. If nobody's listening to us, I think we're going to come out of it new men and women.
I hope somebody is listening.
Because I would experience the opposite then, is that I project too far ahead, which creates lots of like feelings of like, oh, that's going to be a bit awkward. That thing in June is going to clash, you know, like, and sure, it's only January. Chill out.
But you are almost diametrically opposed people. It's interesting for me being between the two of you. Have you noticed every view almost you take since the start of the podcast, she goes, I'm actually the opposite.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah.
It's very interesting
but
for
I
me.
Think as a group, that's why we tend to function quite well, I think, together. Because
that's
we
why
do
we're
have.
Best buddies.
Exactly. And
I
Ty,
feel
you're
like
in the
cement
middle to moderate.
Between the two of you.
Totally.
Yeah.
Do you, love?
I feel like
sometimes
a bit of cement.
I think I'm the glue, no?
No. No, no, no. Oh, God, no. Oh, never. Oh, never.
Oh.
I know, maybe you are.
No, I don't think I am, but I think...
Well, we'd all night trying to reassure you that you are anyway. We'd be three or four paragraphs. What was your last point there now? Because I have a head like a sib.
I was saying that I don't feel anxious because I only think about a week ahead.
And that is the cure and the cause, I think, for
it
you.
It is, totally. Yeah. Yeah. It's my greatest strength and my biggest downfall.
Like,
to quote Fish Go Deep.
To quote Fish Go Deep.
I had, like, great if act, I have some great big act. Like audition or something, and I know about it 2 weeks in advance, I think I've achieved the way of not thinking. Like, I think the way to get over that is to do what you do. Is like, well, it's not happening this week. It's not happening within this day or whatever. So just don't focus on it too much. Because if I focused on it too much, I wouldn't sleep with the excitement / kind of anxiousness about it. So I think in a way your method probably works for me, because I do think too far in ahead. So if I could just dial that back a bit.
I have to say, and it'd be remiss of me not to say it, I meditate. I'm happy to just share that. And I have definitely...
meditate, you quote Keats, you listen to Fish Go Deep.
I used to never... It's funny,
this
before,
is a very cultured man.
Before I meditated, I used to never quote Keats. It's a lovely side effect of it. No, but I would say that I've definitely had anxiety spells in my life, whatever, and the effect of meditation would be like, as a kind of a by the way of meditating regularly, it just tended to ease away. And that was something that was important for me, rather than sitting down with a how to stop being scared manual. Those things don't work for me at all. I need something else to almost distract me from the thing, and then as a side effect of this thing, which is exactly what meditation
I think do. We talked about
I'm
this.
Taking questions.
We talked about it's not actually a question for you, Tyke. We talked about this before.
My heart aches and a drowsy numbness pains my sense.
He's quoting Keats again, or go it could on, be Fish Go Deep. Notes. I don't know.
Fish Go
sure
Keats.
On this one. Keats Go Deep. I don't think it's any good if you're trying not to be anxious to read a load of stuff about anxiety. I don't think it's going to help you.
Correct.
My brother had a big, massive book on procrastination.
And he still hasn't started reading it.
He's about 2 pages in. The book was How to Stop Procrastinating, and it's a tome. It's like War and Peace. I just love that.
I think as well, if I read a book about being anxious, it'd just give me ideas that I hadn't thought of new ways that I, or
to
new
get
things that I could be anxious about.
Yeah.
Jeez, I never thought about anxious about like locking the door or something, even though that's quite a sensible thing to be anxious about. But like, it gives me ideas.
But if you read like, please don't be anxious about locking the door at night, you know, like, the chances of you getting someone breaking into your
only
house.
One in. And then you're like, I'm that one.
Jesus. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I don't meditate like in an official sense, but sometimes when I'm putting my little girl to sleep at that point where she's just about to drift off, I find that I'm kind of in a semi-awake, semi-asleep state next to her. And I do find that that's a moment where like good thoughts would come in, or like, you know, if I was thinking about a comedy bit or a sketch or whatever, that it something would enlighten me there. Like, it's in that moment
of
quietness.
You're quite furtive at night. I've noticed that about you, right? That, like, you are, though.
I'll suddenly send you a message with an idea, because that's what's just happened. I've had a bit of quiet time.
I'm better in the morning, I think.
Does anyone find, and this happens to me quite regularly, the only time I do kind of worry or think about the future in depth is about 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh. I wake up and that's when I get all of my, you haven't done this, you haven't done that, where are you going, what are you doing?
That's 4:48 psychosis. Do you know that play?
I don't, but I'd like to read it now.
That's actually a very good play.
That is the only time it happens to me. Yeah. If I can get back to sleep, I wake up, whatever time, and I'm like, you're okay. You'll just tackle whatever it is ahead of you. But it's only that time of the morning when your brain starts to kind of play tricks on you a little bit.
Can I go back to your meditation, Tyke?
Yeah.
I have 2 questions. Do you do it every day?
Okay.
And if you didn't do it, would you feel wrong?
I do it every day because you're trained to do it every day. And you do it in the morning and you do it in the afternoon, like 15 to 20 minutes each side. And I've never not done it. So imagine that. I was trained to do it 3.5 years ago. Sneezing Jesus, was it? Was it around then? 3.5 years ago, and I've never missed a session because it's like brushing your teeth or having breakfast. Now it's like it's just so part of my
because
thing.
I don't brush my teeth every day.
Ooh. Don't you love?
No,
oh,
love
God.
I know.
Really?
I told you I want my body to be a wreck by the end of it.
Do you leave the house without brushing your teeth?
I have 2 children. I have a lot of places to be.
Wow. That's mad.
I can't even meet Tig in the morning without getting my dental floss.
Because I wouldn't be the cleanest cucumber in the fruit and veg stall. But I would clean the old teeth. But anyway, getting back to meditation, I wouldn't mind saying that the transcendental meditation is the type, and feel free to contact me about it if anybody's listening.
Transcendental.
Because it has... oh my God. I'll give you €100 now and €3,000 in the morning to stop doing those puns.
Okay. Like, I'd love to do it, but I feel like... But it's an excuse. The excuse is I don't have the time to do it. Of course, you could find the time to do it.
And it has helped my creativity no end. I have to say that. Now, obviously, still have worries that I'm not ceasing, or that I'll cease to be, but it has helped creativity. So that's another adjunct bonus that I hadn't intended for it. And I do think, like when you touched on earlier, the mindfulness thing, whatever, I was thinking to myself, yeah, and I totally see where it comes from. It is everywhere, whatever. But as a result of that conversation going around, I did pick up on it somewhere, find my own version of it that I was comfortable with, and I was kind of thinking, well, if that's the consequence of it being everywhere, then that is a good thing.
Absolutely. And I don't think you can be put off by like mindfulness kind of, you can't be extremists or anyone that's extreme about anything. I think you do have to find your own version. And like, my life is quite clustered and clogged with like loads of busyness, but like I find my own ways then of like having the quiet moments as well. Yeah. But like, you couldn't put them under any umbrella term or whatever, but you could call it being mindful. But like,
you could just sit under an umbrella as well and take five.
Wouldn't I love
that? Might be quite
get
peaceful.
Get the parasol out.
Out in Fitzgerald's Park.
Oh my God. Any other fears?
Before we go, let's wrap up these fears.
Right. Well, the one that I was thinking of is the fear, is what people tend to call it.
The
is,
show?
No, 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 not right. The show. The day after you have...
Oh, the
been
fear.
Drinking.
Yes,
oh,
yes. Yeah, I don't like that term, actually.
You don't like it?
But go ahead, go ahead.
Well, I'm only referencing because that's the term that people use for it. There are occasions, if that has happened, when you just feel like the world is kind of closing in on you. And I've had this feeling. I was actually reading a book called American Psycho. I had to stop reading the book because it was making me feel like everybody is out to get you. The world is a horrible place. It's full of nasty, nasty people who are kind of only care about themselves and they're out to get you. I had to stop reading the book because I remember vividly sitting in the Opera House Cafe reading the book going, I feel like the world is kind of closing in.
This is making me feel unwell.
This is making me feel like I got to stop reading that.
Yeah. I feel a bit like that about Black Mirror on Netflix. I'm like, I don't want my head to go to that place, actually.
Yeah, I think it's actually an amazing show, but I understand exactly it's unsettling to experience.
But I don't want to
the reason why it's amazing is because it just does tap into whatever part
it does,
of you feels that paranoia.
That's the point, I think, but sometimes you can take it and sometimes you're just not in that space for it, But anyway, I suppose, get out there, guys. Start meditating. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We will be back with another episode of Chattitude shortly. And, anything else to add, gang?
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.